I am constantly amazed at the goodness of God and how much He loves us. We start to pray for people and they're healed and answers to prayer coming, and it just seems to be speeding up these days.
Yes,
it's so
amen.
Good. Amen. So good. Hello, Gaylord. Welcome. I had something that was on my heart this week. You know, I repair guitars. I haven't done any for the last year or so, and I repair all sorts of things. I repair computers and watches and just whatever God puts in front of me, because He repaired me. You know, and He's in that kind of business, and I want to be like my dad. And I got to thinking about what kind of a society we live in here in the Western world. I mean, you know, not all over the world, but here we live in this. It's called a throwaway culture. Life magazine, that's what I was looking for. 1955, Life magazine. Termed the phrase a throwaway culture because in 1955 it had started. Things had started to become just not valued as much. And things started to change. You know, my grandpa used to carry a handkerchief in his pocket, and when he would blow his nose, he would keep the handkerchief. Grandma would clean it. I thought she was a saint for doing that. But we don't do that. We have tissues now. My mom used to have cloth diapers, and now Pampers and whatever else there. You know, we just toss them. You know, and that's just a part of society. When we have a drink of water, we toss out the bottle. Throw away society. When we have a small appliance breakdown, a toaster, why fix it? Just throw it away. You need your fridge breaks. It's easier to get a new one usually than to find a repairman. TV is the same way, because you can get a new one, a bigger one, you know, like, yeah, cheaper. Move from a 32 to a 55 or an 80 or, you know, whatever. It's the kind of life we have. But how that permeates into all that we do. In my youth, I remember neighborhood fix-it shops, where you could take your toaster or your whatever had broken, electrical appliance of some sort, electrical tool, you could take it in there, and for a couple of bucks, they'd fix it up. And you'd have it, and it would extend its life, and it'd be just like new again. And I was thinking, I don't know that there is a repair shop like that in Cloverdale now. There is one? Dan's, yeah, but it's gone. Yeah. they just are anachronisms, like buggy whip factories. You don't see them anymore. Because it's a throwaway culture. Now, there is a movement to get back to a place where we want to be in touch with those things, you know, like, people are getting back into the slow way of doing things and the long way of doing things. And I applaud that. But there's something beautiful about the repair business that just extends life and what God does in us in all of that. There is the thing that made me think about it was that I read an article about the repair cafe movement. Repair cafe. There are 1,300 of them throughout North America. 1,300 repair cafes where you can go and have your coffee and there are tools and parts and books and people that know how to repair things that hang out at the cafe. And you can learn, or you can leave it, or you can just have a coffee there. And people are really enjoying the whole aspect of repairing something and making it have value again. Something that we would toss away suddenly has value.
Wow.
And it's so cool. And I thought that's sort of what Jesus does, you know, as we look at it. But today, that has permeated society. You know how things kind of creep in. And now we throw away friendships. And we throw away relationships. And we can just toss off churches. And we can toss off jobs. And we can toss off things that used to mean, like, your whole life. And we just turn our backs and go because it's a part of who we are. We're a throwaway society. There's something kind of sad about that. And I am so glad that Jesus isn't that way.
Yeah.
So glad. If you would read with me Psalm 51. Now, those of you that know it, know the background to Psalm 51. David the king, the most incredible king that Israel ever had. Maybe the most incredible king that the world ever had. He united Israel. He expanded their borders. He amassed great wealth from nothing. An amazing guy. But on a time when he should have been out to war, he stayed home. Had his lunch on the terrace on the roof, and while he was eating his lunch, he looked across to another roof, and there having a bath was a beautiful woman. And he wanted to get to know her in a biblical sense. And so he arranged to have her husband murdered and to have relationships with her. Bathsheba was her name. He might have got away with it. Maybe. People know. You know, it's just, people know those things. But Nathan the prophet came to him and confronted David with what he'd done. And David, being the honest man that he was, acknowledged it. And I'm sure felt the relief. Ah. I can finally be honest. And so he wrote Psalm 51 at that time. And you can just feel the brokenness in the man. Let's read it together. Have mercy on me, O God. According to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgression, with a plural, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth in the inner being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from the blood guiltness, O God. O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. For you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. You hear his heart? So beautiful. So broken. Have you ever been there? You ever been at that place? Just absolutely broken. Aren't you glad you're not a toaster? Or a 26-inch console TV? But you're a person made by God. And he doesn't give up on us. He's so delightful. So awesome in all of his ways. Doesn't matter what we have done. He wants to make it right. And make us right with him. So in this psalm, we see David taking his sorry soul to God's repair shop. David was an incredible king, but he developed a throwaway mentality. Now watch what he's thrown out. I just jotted down a couple of things. He threw away the laws of God. He wasn't honoring God's laws. He threw away the sanctity of the marriage bond. He threw away his self-respect. He threw away a woman's honor and reputation. He threw away a man's life, her husband, Uriah. He recklessly threw away and abandoned the person God called him to be. The person the ancient prophet Samuel had anointed when David was but a lad, tending sheep and writing poems and playing the harp. David is a ruined man in Psalm 51. His life is in tatters, entirely lost. His spirit is broken, his soul is wounded, he is sick and distressed. He's been given a diagnosis, and he knows the disease. He knows who he really is, and it's not pretty. And it nauseates him, and it should. He lied. He raped the neighbor lady. He ordered the murder of her husband, and he tried to cover up the crime. To say he abused his authority and position is really a gross understatement. He needs relief. He's in a downward spiral of destruction, and he needs redemption. He needs something. So where does he go with it? He goes to the only place he can go. Where do you go for a broken heart, a broken life? Where do you go? You go to God's repair shop. He's the master. David knows a lot about God. He's been close to him, written songs about how good God is. how wonderful he is, and how he doesn't deal with us according to our sins, but according to his abounding and steadfast love. He doesn't repay us according to our iniquity. And that's why we can pray, do not cast me from your presence, nor take your Holy Spirit from me. God won't cast you away from his divine presence. You know, when we feel far from God, God hasn't moved. It's us. It's our heart. He promised he would never leave us, nor forsake us. And that's a beautiful word, forsake, you know, to not forsake. He's not going to give up on us. He's not going to just turn his back on us. He loves us so much. God doesn't cast us away. God repairs and redeems us. He says, for I will restore health to you, and your wounds I will heal, declares the Lord, from Jeremiah 30. In Joel 2, it says, I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten. Isaiah 1 says, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, though they be just horrible, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall become like wool. Ephesians 1 says, Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He promises to make us new creations, brand new. In Ezekiel, it says he'll give us a new heart. But somehow I carry this heart with me. And I'm the steward of this heart. This heart that betrays me so often. So what is the cost of God's repair shop? How much does it cost? Nothing. But what it does cost is an acknowledgement. Acknowledgement that you're broken. There is absolutely no point in going to God and say, hey, I'm good. Everything's good with me. No problem. See you again next week. Because he knows. He's amazing. And it's so, so good to come into the house of God and have just a moment with him. The church is just four walls. The church really is us, the people of God. And when we're together, there's just something magnificent in it. Because we all carry him with us. And coming into a place where we meet together in community is just very special. I love it. We also have to not only acknowledge that we're broken and acknowledge the problem, but we have to submit to treatment. David, in this, asked for specific remedies. He wants the mercy treatment and some blotting done. In verse 1 we see, have mercy on me according to your abundant mercy. Blot out my transgressions.
Praise God.
He also asks for a wash and cleansing session. In verse 2, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. He wants to do a purge, it says in verse 3, for I know my transgression, my sin is ever before me. or verse 5, sorry. Behold, it has brought forth, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Thank you, Lord. He wants complete restoration. He asks for that in verse 12. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. Finally, he asks for a new heart, which is the key part of the treatment. The old heart, the old engine, the old nature, whatever you call it, is beyond repair. David asked for a replacement. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Well, God can do this. The Apostle Paul writes, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. There may be another cost in that, that we need to acknowledge what he's done in our lives and accept the help that's offered. Thank you, Jesus. He's in the repair business. Very good. During worship, Bob had, the Lord wants to heal emotions and broken hearts. Funny thing. Spirit of God is moving so beautifully. Well, he's going to do that today, I believe. There's just stuff we carry with us. And part of the word that we have for this year is rest. Come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden. Right? And what is it that weighs us down the most? It's us. I was reading just today in Romans where it said, who will deliver me from this body of death? Paul said, that's the weight that we carry. It's, you know, we carry burdens for others, but we're only supposed to carry them as far as a prayer is away. Right? You're not supposed to carry the burdens of others along, but we carry ourselves. And we don't recognize that our hearts need rest and we need his healing touch upon us. We're tough guys and we can push through this stuff. Denial is a wonderful place. Because we're kind of forced into it by society. It can't be real. But you can be real with God. And hopefully you can be real here. That's what we want more than anything. In community, we want to be able to be real with one another. To acknowledge that we need our hearts cleansed every now and then. From the weight of the thoughts that we've had. Or if you drive, you've probably had a negative thought about someone else. And it just goes on from there. If you watch television, you're encouraged to sin by the moment because it's all cool on TV. TV seems to be an invitation to break all of God's laws every night. And I'm not going to rant about that. It's just that we carry so much and we need the rest. We need the freedom. We need to be able to rejoice. David talked about the rejoicing that comes when you receive that touch from God. A broken heart. Broken heart from abandonment, from rejection, from so, you know, failure, your own failure, failure of others. God wants to do that. He's in the heart repair business. He repaired my heart physically. You know, I was on medications for 6 years. And I'm not on any medication now. Just God healed it. And that's the kind of thing he does. But 5.5 years into it, did I ever think that I was actually going to get the healing? Well, I doubted it. It actually took me by surprise when the doctor said, your heart's normal. But God is in the heart repair business. Does your heart need a little repair today? Will you acknowledge it before him? You don't have to acknowledge it before anybody else. Just turn that heart toward him and say, Jesus, I need your touch. I need that repair touch of yours. I need you to give me rewiring, Lord. New components, like David asked for. He'll acknowledge it and then to receive it because he is so good. So, I want to pray for you. But I want, Jen, would you be able to play us a song? I want to just sing to the Lord a little bit, and then I want to release his healing touch into the room for those hearts. And during the song, just be in touch with what he's saying to you, because he will be speaking to each of us, reminding us of things, reminding us of stuff that we don't need to carry, that we can shake off those heavy bands. Jesus. And be light. Like they say, you know why angels can fly? Because they take themselves lightly. We don't need to carry it. He will. So let's sing a little bit and then I'll pray, okay? Yeah. Thanks, Jen. Thank you, Lord. That's our receiving position, right? A prophetic act. Jesus, thank you that you have dealt with the sin issue so beautifully in your death and resurrection. Thank you that we don't need to carry sin and the burden of sin any longer. You've made a way. But Jesus, we get down on ourselves and we get hurt and things build up in our hearts. So today, would you, as King David said, would you cleanse our hearts, O God? Would you just give them up? A once over, a car wash, oh God, to wash off all of the encumbrances that we carry, the stuff that we worry about and we shouldn't, we know. The stuff that we carry that really has no place in our lives. Just wash it off, Lord, that we might receive rest from you and receive joy. And freedom, that we will know that freedom again. Would you wash over each one, Lord, as we sit before you, as we stand before you, we receive from you, O God, that cleansing, washing us whiter than snow, taking all and giving us your easy burden, your light yoke, because you're so good. Jesus, would you bless each one today as we receive from you the joy of our salvation once again. You're so wonderful, Jesus. Bless, bless, bless as you want to in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.